Morning.
How's it going?
Great. Spring break is over.
Good. Good.
Thank
good.
Luck. What are we talking about?
We are talking about the marriage relationship after having a baby.
Great.
More specifically, a follow-up to which episode?
Teamwork is not making the dream work.
Teamwork is not making the dream work.
Mm-hmm.
This is I Love My Baby And. We're two therapists and moms, and we respond to listener submissions from moms like you that either complete the sentence, I love my baby and, or, you know, chat about the sleep deprivation and what it's like to constantly be touched and talked to.
Expectant moms, new moms, OG moms, partners of moms, we are so happy to have you here.
We are.
I have confessions of a sleep-deprived parent.
Dude, what?
So the catalyst event in all of this was our daughter moving from crib to a big girl bed.
Mm-hmm.
Since we have transitioned her into a big girl bed, she has not spent a single full night in her room.
Oh, my God.
And
Oh, my God.
I'm really tired.
Yeah.
Like to the point where my brain is tired and mm-hmm. I like have lost words.
Sure.
And
the cells in your body.
So I like went in there with her yesterday. I was like, I don't know. I'm going to try a different approach. I went in there yesterday and I laid in her bed with her and I was like, can you tell me when you come and get us in the middle of the night, AKA me, because right. my husband can sleep through anything.
Sure.
What are you wanting? And she goes, I'm just wanting snuggles and attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I say, okay, well then I will continue to provide that for you. Like, I'm not going to be like, no, you have to stay in here alone by yourself while you're like pining for snuggles and affection.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say
that. You would.
This
is what everyone keeps telling me, that I'm being too, like, I'm being
okay,
too.
Okay, but I am not a parent. I don't work with kids. I don't understand. Like, and so what do I know? But yeah. Like, sleep is important.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
And I would give a hug and I would just give a big hug and be like, I love you so much. And they're like, okay. And then I would just leave.
She doesn't, yeah, like that's not how
it doesn't work. No, right.
That's not how it
you works know
her.
Right. You know what's going to work.
So I was like, what about if we, I don't know why, for some reason we still have a rocker in her room.
Us too, with Nora.
Yeah. And she's even said, like, we haven't, she's like, I don't want it in here because it takes up prime corner real estate, you know?
Sure. It's a corner lot.
And I was like, what if we made that like a little craft area for you so that when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can turn your lamp on and like do some crafts to keep you busy. And she was like, I would love to play crafts with you.
So she wasn't picking up what you were putting down.
No,
she like was not at all.
No.
Or she was. And she was like, that sounds fun to do it together.
She sounds so smart.
I would love to do crafts with you.
She sounds so smart. She is so smart.
Yeah.
In like a really interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, our kids are all different. And so like you get so used to your first baby's type yep. of
smartness.
Smartness. Yeah. Yeah. And then mm-hmm. you have a second one. And like, I don't know about you, but my kids are smart in really different ways.
Yes.
And I just know with like raising a strong, very strong-willed little lady, I don't want to take that away from her. But also like, girlfriend, your mom, like I'm not 25.
Yeah, I don't – I would not be okay.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Nora came into our room last, but it was upsetting. I think she was like having a nightmare because she came into our room with her pants around her ankles and her teeny tiny tushy just like out. Aww. And she was just like, which is like my favorite thing. And she was like crying and she was really worked up and upset. And she's like, my pants fell down. And John and I were dead asleep. You know the kind of sleep where like someone wakes you up and you shoot out of bed and are like running around your room, like trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, I used to. I don't anymore.
Sure. Yeah. Because you're just, yeah. That's where we were last night. And she didn't have an accident. I think she just had like a nightmare or something. I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. And then like, so I was, you know, I took to Reddit and to see and I don't want to buy a course because
well, we talked about that.
I know, but also like it's just not for me. Like I know everything is a phase and they come and go so quickly and like this isn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
And someday I'll be like an old lady being a bed lady and being like, oh, I wish that Ruby were here to cuddle
would,
me.
Would like come into my, yeah, I yeah. know.
So, you know.
I know.
I just try not to lose my patience and I don't lose my patience. But, yeah. But then it's, yeah, she just, yeah. Yeah. There's no amount of love. And then I have the whole like NICU guilt thing. I think.
I know. Yeah,
we've gone back.
I know. That. I know. Which like that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. That you just like, I don't know, want to like do everything you can for her.
Yeah, especially with the attachment stuff.
Yes, I totally get that. And you need sleep. See,
thank you for I'm yawning. Yeah, thank you for the therapy. Appreciate
you. No problem. Thank you so much. Next week. No. Okay, so we're talking about teamwork not making the dream work. And I have a lot to say about this, obviously, from a relational standpoint. And what I think is important about this topic is I think this is something a lot of moms or parents in a relationship, co-parenting with someone, that just highlights that like everything about this experience is relational. And yeah. I think sometimes we think that it's not, and there's been such a push in it, which is amazing, such a push and a focus on like the mom's experience and the postpartum experience and what this is like for her, because we never really talked about it before. And now it's become such a focus, which is wonderful. And I think an unintended consequence of that is now we're not talking about like her system. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which plays a role in the postpartum experience.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's part of, yeah, absolutely.
It is part of the postpartum experience. So whatever, I'm excited to get into it. You going first?
Okay. So I picked sort of an out of the norm one. Well, out of the norm in terms of people talking about it, but I have a suspicion that this is probably a more common experience than we talk about. Okay. So, you ready?
Yeah.
I love my baby. And since having a baby, oh, to preface, this person is married. So I love my baby. And since having a baby, I have been fantasizing about an ex.
Okay. Okay. I don't, there's so many directions. Number one, yes, totally normal. Number two, I think this kind of hits on like maybe missing a part of your old life that your ex was a part of. And now you are perhaps tethered to your child because you are your infant, newborn, because you're nursing or a pump or a bot, whatever it may be. Like you are missing this freedom. I think this could touch on that. I feel like it's like, what does your ex represent is the question I want to ask.
That was sort of where my brain went also because you're in a married relationship with someone else. Obviously, our partners can't be like all fulfilling for us. No. So what is it about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll let you elaborate.
That is immediately what I think. And it's not that your partner is maybe it's that your partner is lacking in something that you really miss about an ex that like they just don't have, but they have a lot of other great qualities. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not fantasizing about an ex necessarily, but I remember feeling this way after having my first kid of like, I miss who I was. I miss the freedom. I miss the fun. I miss the ease of life. And so I think that's like a big,
the spontaneity, the lack of responsibility, the being able to have sex wherever and whenever you want to.
Yep.
Okay. So shifting this away from, I mean, everyone has, we all fantasize about.
I refuse to accept, and you can come for me in the comments. I refuse to accept that you just don't fantasize about anyone else.
Right.
So watch, my husband's listening to this and he's like, I just hear him like storming up the stairs after listening to this episode. No. But like, I'm sorry. Like, we're humans.
So I guess my follow-up question for you would be, how would you, like, okay, so fine, like normal, totally normal. Yeah. But does that mean that I'm missing something in my current relationship? Does that mean that I'm like made the wrong life decision? You know, like there could be a million other, how do you take this conversation to your partner or not to you, your partner, and just kind of work through it?
Yes. Okay. So I am a big proponent of not making major decisions while you are mid major life transition.
Yes.
Post death is one, post baby is one. Like, I feel like those are just the two like biggest life transitions. Without minimizing this experience for you, like, is it just that you're feeling overwhelmed by all of this amount of change and you're like not quite sure what to do? So you're missing the part of your life where you felt pretty confident and sure what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all the things that I would mention. But for you to up and leave your partner right after you had, unless there are obviously good reasons to do it, if it's just that like, this isn't it for me, like I would.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking ending the relationship. I was thinking more like how to manage these feelings within the relationship you're in.
Yes. When you said like, did I marry the wrong person? I'm just saying, I mean, like, I don't think those are questions to like ask yourself right now.
So I have worked with several postpartum women, multiple, who were like, I'm out of love. Yes. Or like, I randomly got a message from, you know, however someone from the past reaches out. Yep. And they feel really like fucked up by it.
Yeah.
And I say the same thing that you just said, like, you know, like it can just exist.
It can exist. It doesn't. Yes. So I think that's exactly what this kind of speaks to, is like, is this highlighting a disparity between you and your partner in terms of caring for your newborn or your baby or your kids if they're a little bit older, right? Like, this, I don't think this is a feeling that's unique to the newborn stage. I think this can happen at all like stages of your kid's development, that you're like, I mean, they're so different. And all of a sudden you get really used to the toddler stage and then they like go to kindergarten and they're like it's, whatever. So
there's a lot of change that happens really in a very compact amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can leave us, even just outside of relationships, that can leave us craving some feelings of stability or
exactly
sameness.
Exactly. So I do think that is probably where I would go with this client, is like, what is this highlighting for you? It could very well be like, I desperately miss this person and I want to get back together with them and I made a grave mistake. I don't think that's for everyone. I think for most people, it's like the stability, the predictability, the level fun. The fun, the comfort, the
spontaneity. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, those are the kinds of things.
Which also just speaks to life before having a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I know we've talked about on here of like, I miss my old life. Like I hear that all the time. And I also want to say too, I hear that I work with a lot of postpartum couples and I, most of whom are heterosexual. So for the purpose of this conversation, I'm saying like a husband and a wife. And I think the husband doesn't feel the same amount of permission to say that. And I've noticed it, like they want to say they miss parts of their old life, but they're afraid because, because they want to, which is, I think what I spoke to earlier, like this unintended consequence of shifting the focus exclusively to the postpartum mom, which is wonderful. I'm not encouraging that we don't do that, but I think then it sort of removes her support system from the experience because it's just about her and we don't exist in like individual systems. That's just not how our society is.
But so you do become you do become a mom alone.
Okay. Yeah. I want to talk about this. Yes. I want to go into that more, but I believe that like, if we are not including the partner of the woman who just gave birth, like what are we doing?
Yes.
What are we doing? Yeah. And so I notice a lot where the husband and or the dad will not want to say, I also miss my old life. And I get why, but I also think it can really be like validating for the mom to be like, okay, I'm not a horrible mom for feeling like I miss this part of my, like I love my baby and I'm obsessed with this life and my kid and all of these things and who I've become. But like, I really miss everything before. And I think it can make her feel a little less alone to hear you feel that way too. Yeah. Just something interesting I've noticed a lot. What were you going to say about becoming a mom alone?
That's it. You become a mom alone.
But say more. Cause I think,
well, you carry the baby alone. Exit strategy the baby alone from your body. And there is no one, there's not two of you that are becoming moms at the same time. You become a mom, you have your baby, and if you have a partner, your partner becomes whatever their title is. And you are people in relation doing that together. But you become a mom by yourself. Regardless of supports. We need to parent alone. I'm just saying it is an experience that you have that's pretty specific to you.
Yes. For sure. I don't know. I guess I would also want to just know more about like, is this about inequity in the relationship? Is this about you feeling like your husband doesn't fully understand you?
Or is it just a fun escape?
Right. And those don't have to be. I think they can be like disturbing and upsetting because you're like, why on earth am I thinking about an ex? Right now when I'm married, but
it's not necessarily problematic. Doesn't mean that there's something wrong in your marriage. It just means you know, you need an escape in your brain.
Which is where I would encourage some conversation between you and your husband about like, what are you trying to escape from? And can he support you in this? Because the chances are probably, and like you deserve to be supported in that. But I don't know. Everyone does it.
It's super normal.
It's super normal. I had a countdown to when I pushed record, and right as it went to zero, I was like, now I need water.
I love that.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This touches on like multiple topics that we've also I love my baby and things are not split 50-50 with my husband. I'm about to go back to work and I'm really nervous about it.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So great. I would actually like to go back to all of the episodes and see how many times after you ask me a question, I'm like, okay, okay,
okay,
okay.
Yeah.
Because about 45 times a day, mostly in transitions between one thing and the next, I'm like, okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great.
Okay. So, I don't just personally don't usually think that marriage is like 50-50 most of the time. And I think that it's, we do ourselves a disservice by thinking it should be.
Yep.
There are times where my husband is giving 80 and I'm giving 20, and there are times when I'm giving 100 and he's giving 0, and yeah, both are okay. So I think taking a look at like why is there an expectation of 50-50 and what would that look like if you had it? This comes up a lot with like feeding the baby, especially for exclusively breastfed babies or chest fed babies.
Yeah.
Where I hear, I want to continue feeding this way, but also I want my partner to be doing more. Because right, at the very, very, I mean, not, as long as your baby is breastfeeding, there's only one place that can happen.
Yeah.
Which naturally makes things feel like there is an inequity. And then returning to work. I'm just like, I'm giving the brief.
And then we can
get into it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Returning to work. So I say, well, what are you wanting? Like, if you're wanting a plan before you return to work of like who's doing what, then you and your partner need to calendar together and sit down. And it's like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're doing these, or you're doing drop off, I'll do pickup.
Yeah.
This is what's going to work. Let's look into like prepping our food on Sundays and if that will make things easier. Getting out of the house in the morning with kids is an evolving experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I would argue even that like the littler they are, the easier that it is.
Because
there's not much free will yet.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
These are the shoes you're wearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, great.
Yeah. And like you don't have to negotiate outfits Mm-mm. based on weather. You just get them dressed.
Mm-mm.
So yep. A few things come to mind. If this is turning into resentment, it needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't turn into more resentment.
Yep.
And if you are expecting 50-50, what does that mean? And what does that look like?
Yep.
We are even as working pair.
I have something to say just super fast. I think because this is a narrative, I feel like I am constantly undoing with couples,
mm-hmm.
the expectation of 50-50, mm-hmm. because I'm just like you. I don't believe that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we do the work and get down to it, it is not at all 50-50. That they're expecting. It's not like, oh, if I feed the baby, then you feed the baby next time. If I get up, then you get up. And
it's mostly wanting to be validated for what you're already doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So if you are needing to be validated and told, I see what you're doing, I appreciate what you're doing, I see how hard you're working, but you don't actually want your partner to be doing more, you just want your partner to be acknowledging how much you're doing, which is, that's been a conversation in our household since we've had kids.
Yeah.
We exist ourselves, so like we always, I think people always think that I'm doing the most and I'm working the hardest and I'm, without recognizing that, you know, our partners, our families, our communities are also doing a lot of really hard work. We're just not in their shoes. So I think it depends. I think my answer to this depends on where you are on the rage scale. So are you like, What were you expecting me to say?
I have no idea.
But not that.
I was thinking about like going back to work, but the rage scale to me feels so real post spring break. Anyway, yeah. Go on.
So I just made that up. Scale. Trademark, the rage scale.
I'm dying. Oh my God. Okay.
So where you are on the rage scale, if you're mm-hmm. a zero on the rage scale, just minorly annoyed and like,
yeah.
We'll get through this, you know, maybe you're just a little nervous to return to work and everything's yeah. going to change again. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you just need to like work out the kinks of what that will look like. And then you'll feel fine.
Yeah.
If you are like max 100 rage scale, like I want to light you on fire. I've never mm-hmm. hated anyone more in my entire life. Mm-hmm. You are fucking worthless. I'm doing everything. I should have known that I was going to do everything, you know, like
yep.
Real deep into the rage, blame,
yeah.
Yeah. like resentment. I would recommend finding yourself a ruby to process through
yeah.
with, because there's absolutely no doubt that having a new baby completely changes your primary relationship with your partner. It just yeah. does.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know what type of parent you're going to be until you become a parent. And mm-hmm. there's no way to know how you're going to co-parent with your partner until right. you have kids.
Yep.
So I have observed that a lot of times there's expectations. We have expectations of our partners that they are completely blind to because we've never talked yeah. about them.
Right.
And similarly, they may have expectations of what you're supposed to be doing
yeah.
that you're completely blind to because
right.
you've never talked about it. I will say this, like for stay-at-home parents, being a stay-at-home parent is a full-time job. When you add any house chores, domestic labor, that type of work, that's a whole second job. So now yeah. you have two jobs yeah. in the same place.
Yeah.
But like two working out of the home parents where like babies need to get to daycare. Who's going to make dinner? Who's going to make lunch? Who's going right. to do breakfast? Who's going to get who ready in the morning? Who's going to take a shower first? Who's going to take a shower second? How much time do you need? How much time do I need? Like if everybody has to get out of the house, there are realistically like logistical conversations you could be having. But start with the rage scale. Where are you on that?
I always start with the rage. I think I'm at a baseline. Like if it's a 0 to 100, I feel like my baseline is 50. And I just
What do you think mine is?
I don't think you have any rage. The longer I get to know you, the more I'm just like, I need help.
No, you don't.
I don't know. I just.
No, you don't.
No, but yeah, the rage scale really resonated with me, obviously. So, okay.
This podcast, the rage scale.
If I read something or saw something called the rage scale, I would be like, this must be about motherhood. Like, yeah. And I don't think that would exist for many people.
Yeah, rage. Well, rage. It's really common. I mean, like, you know, there's lots of popular, mom accounts that talk a lot about like postpartum rage, and I didn't yeah. even know it was a thing.
Yeah. I think this speaks to feeling very out of control, and yeah. there is a lot about parenthood that is very out of your control. And I think for many people, this is possibly the first time they are confronted with how little yes. control they have.
Yes.
And that can be really hard, like yes. really, really hard. So,
and a change in your relationship, like,
yeah, jarring.
Like, it is so easy to be in love with someone and have fun and travel mm-hmm. and have all of the sex and eat all of the yummy food and have all yep. of the experiences. And then you have kids and
you don't get to have sex whenever you want.
But like, what fun looks like changes. And
yeah.
so you're also, it's also sort of like you're starting your relationship over when you have
totally.
A baby.
And totally. I think
granting some grace for that is really important.
Yes. Yes. And what was 50-50 before kids is not 50-50 anymore.
Just start fantasizing about your ex.
okay. What we're saying is, I just, yeah.
No, that's a no-go on that one.
I don't know. I think they're very harmless. Don't like act on it unless you were in a consensual non-monogamous relationship. But like
ethically non-monogamous. I heard this for the first time recently and I don't.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard of it?
Not the ethically part.
Well, yeah, the other part is just called being a cheating son of a bitch.
Well, like I've heard like consensual non-monogamy.
Oh, they're similar.
But I was like, wait, this is like we're talking ethics now?
Ethics, the law. Yeah, no, those are different things. Anyway, okay. What I was saying about rage. No, not about rage. About it's always at the top of my mind. Mm-hmm. That I think this is so much of what like the work we do is like, okay, there's two avenues for us. Avenue one, and we have to go down both of them. Avenue one is logistically, tangibly, like what are we doing to make change, if possible. Sometimes there's no option. And then the avenue two is like, and then like, what is all the baggage that this is bringing up? Because you can't just like try to make change and be like, okay, if I want this to feel 50-50, then let's every Sunday we sit, like to what you were saying, like we sit with our calendar, we do this, we map out this, he makes this, I make this, I don't think that's going to solve the feeling you have of inequity.
So for the sake of transparency, if this mom were to come into my office and say this to me, I love my baby and 50-50, returning to work, all of those different pieces, I would honestly, I would look at this mom and say, I understand that you have a tremendous amount of change that just happened and you have a tremendous amount of change that's about to happen. And that can feel really scary and really overwhelming. And you probably have somewhere in there conflicting feelings about all of the things, returning to work, not returning to work. Your child, whatever you chose for childcare, I would lead with that validation first. I don't necessarily, I think with a continued conversation, I don't know that there would be, like, there doesn't necessarily need to be a solution right away, but more an exploring of all of the different pieces, all of the different water droplets that are making a puddle. And
correct.
How can we first, how can we clarify what each of those different pieces are to understand not everything, because like sometimes Richie will say to me, like, is everything just like the worst right now? And I'll be like, everything is just the worst because I'm not ready to like, I'm not ready to
for solves.
I'm not ready for solves.
Yes.
And I'm not ready. Yeah. I'm not ready to look at all of the different, like I'm exhausted, but what are the 15 different things and what can, you know, sometimes problem solving is not what you need. You just need to like, you need to work towards an understanding of your own feelings.
Yeah. Yes. Because if you don't have a good understanding of those feelings, your partner probably can't.
We can't expect our partners to know. We don't share brains.
Right.
Or feelings. Right. You know?
Yes. And I think this is just, I don't know. Because I think also when you are feeling so exhausted and fatigued and out of control and pulled in every direction, you really want someone to sort of take the reins, but do it in a way that you really want. And they may not do it in a way that you really want, even if they do take the reins. Mm-hmm. And that can be hard. So then it's like, do you want help or do you want to do it yourself?
Like, like, do you want me to help you problem solve or do you just want me to listen?
Yeah. I talk about this all the time. The difference between doing and being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you want your partner to like jump to action and help you strategize. And other times you just need them to sit there and say like, does everything suck?
Where are you on the rage scale?
Where are you? Yeah.
And what can I order for dinner?
If I was at 100 and my husband asked me that, it would not go well. So, okay. The rage scale.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway from this.
Yeah.
Rage scales.
Episode title. Where are you on the rage scale?
Thank you for joining us this week. If you have questions or want to have your submission read on the show, you can find us on Instagram at ilovemybabyand or email us at ilovemybabyand@gmail.com.
You can find me, Erin, on Instagram at Fourth Trimester Wellness and Ruby at Ruby Talks Relationships. And if you like what you're hearing, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And don't worry, all of that information is available in our show notes.
Bye.
Bye.